The combine is over and the 2025 NFL draft is almost upon us.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams. The Carolina Panthers select Bryce Young. The Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence.
The Cincinnati Bengals select Joe Burrow.
Let's find out whose stock is falling and whose stock is rising.
Jackpot, baby!
And now it's time for the Zach Gelb Show to give you an inside look at some of the biggest draft prospects in this edition of Prospect Profile.
Now we will go to talk about a little Jalen Milroe right now. Roman Harford, the former Alabama Crimson Tide safety, did win a Super Bowl in the NFL, played for the Saints and also the Carolina Panthers. Now does a kick-ass job for the SEC Network. He is kind enough to join us right now as we will discuss about the former Alabama quarterback. Roman, appreciate the time. How you been, my man?
Zach, I'm always good, man. I usually just listen to you on the radio once everything goes down here in Charlotte, but actually getting to talk to you and see your face, man, I'm always happy to say what's up to you. You know that.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So this Jalen Milroe conversation is fascinating to me because at the end of the college football season, I would have said, oh, we should probably go back to college. Now he's going to the draft on Thursday, so I guess he expects – to go in the first round. Do you expect him to go in the first round?
I wouldn't use the word expect. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked. I've seen crazier things happen than a quarterback getting taken maybe a little bit earlier than what we all anticipate. But look, that last game was brutal for him at Michigan in whatever bowl game that was. But at the end of the day, I thought he should have left as well. There was nothing else that he was going to be able to improve upon or possibly prove or show to NFL guys. Look, if you want to go learn how to play quarterback in the NFL, go to the NFL. That, to me, that's my honest opinion about it. Because you got certain elements and aspects of college that just don't translate over into the NFL. And the only way to really get better at being a better NFL quarterback is getting an NFL locker room, seeing what it's like to compete against guys, having an older veteran quarterback around you, talking to you about your eyes, what the ropes are, fine-tuning your footwork. Understanding that in college you're in shotgun all the time. It's just not the same game. As much as college is starting to, as much as the NFL is starting to take little bits and more pieces of the college game, it's still different. And so I always, after the season, I thought he should have left because at the end of the day, you want to go be a better NFL quarterback. I think you're athletic enough. I think you're good enough. You got the arm strength. You had a lot of highs, and if you came back to college, I think it would allow other teams and GMs to just find more ways to pick more holes in your game because that's all they do. The more film they got on you, the more they think they got you figured out and the more holes they put in your game. So go while they know less. And I appreciate what Jalen Milroe was able to accomplish at Alabama. You know, you had this emptiness at the end of the year, at the end of his career because his last year wasn't as good as the year before. But one thing about Jalen Milroe, he's a special athlete, and I just wish as a quarterback, he made some of the things that are easy. Like some of the easy things you want your quarterback to be able to do, he makes them hard. And some of the hard things that nobody else can do, he makes them look pretty easy. So he has to figure that balance out.
Yeah, and that's the big word, balance. Because I know We all want a franchise quarterback. We all want our quarterback to play great all the time. Like what he did up against Georgia was very special. But then there's games like Oklahoma. There's games like Tennessee, where it's just so horrible. Like, the ceiling is so high, the floor is so low for him, and he just hasn't been able to give you that average type of middle ground game when I watch him.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he was like perfect example of you knew exactly what you're going to get every week. And I was in the Carolina Panthers locker room at the time, and Ron Rivera would come talk to me. He's like, I love Alabama's quarterback. I love Jalen Hurts. I'm like, really? I'm like, everybody else is kind of just not impressed with him all the time. He's like, but I know exactly what I'm going to get out of him every single game. Like, for me as a head coach, especially a defensive-minded head coach, I can win with that all day because I know exactly what I'm going to get. I don't get the highs and the lows. I just get the same thing. I can build around that. And so that is what Jalen Milroe has to try and learn to continue to add into his game, is that he has to continue to do just the little things right all the time. So then I can count on that. That second down play call that I know you're super familiar with, I don't need that airmailed. I need your feet underneath you. I need that to be a completion every single time. So those are the little things that, you know, But then you also saw, like, Jalen Milroe, he was a better thrower of the football than Jalen Hurts was in college at times. Like, Jalen Hurts was not the player that he has been. We just underestimated the value of hard work and who Jalen Hurts was, that how much he would improve since he left high school. He's gotten better every single year I've seen him play football since high school. I've seen it. And you're hoping Jalen Milroe has that type of ability as well, that he can continue to improve. Similar system. He also played under three different offensive coordinators when he was in school. So that's another credit that, you know, a lot of coordinators and GMs are going to say, I mean, we just need some stability around the young man, because he had all these different coordinators, different coaches every year. And so what fits well with him, let's figure that out. And then let's go feed him that more and not just say, hey, he's trying to pick this this square peg into a round hole.
There's two quarterbacks that get mentioned when we talk about Jalen Milroe. You mentioned Jalen Hurts. Yeah. I also mentioned Anthony Richardson, because it was really all or nothing at Florida. And you know what? I'll mention Josh Allen too, because he had all the physical tools. The question was, would that accuracy ever come together in the NFL? And obviously did, and now he's the second best quarterback in the game. Like, I know it's tough to do in terms of...
Hold on. Who's the first? Who's the first? Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, you know what? Mahomes... Mahomes wasn't talked about, though, as much as the other guys were really talked about.
No, you're right.
But when I look at Milroe, I remember the conversations about Hurts. I remember the conversations about Richardson and also Josh Allen. So, but yeah, oh, in terms of quarterback rankings, that's the way they meant it. Yeah, Mahomes is one. What, okay. Do you disagree with that?
No. I agree with Pat one. I think I like Lamar over Josh, but I understand it.
Yeah.
I respect it.
Lamar's 0-2 against him in the postseason, you know? So I think that's the tiebreaker. But if you want to tell me Lamar's 2, I'm not going to sit here and tell you you're an idiot and a moron and a dope. I won't do that. But when it comes to Jalen, where's your confidence? Like, he has the tools. He seems like a great kid. He says all the right things. But where's your confidence that Jalen Milroe puts it together at the next level?
You know, I think because of what I saw Jalen Hurts do, I am more confident in him to be able to do that. But it also has to be the right system. I think where you go, when you go matters. You know, instead of trying to, like, say, oh, I want to be this top 10 pick, which means you usually go to a bad team. And they anticipate you playing more often right away. And so you're not around the best situation where you're able to cultivate, you're able to learn. I think all those things will matter when my final vote is said. I have the confidence that he will be able to do it. But I think where he goes to matters just as much. Who else is in the quarterback room? Who else is over there teaching him and he's willing to learn and work? Because, you know, Anthony Richardson, you know, he, like you said, such a high ceiling. And, man, this guy looks like a linebacker, like a creative player. And so I understand why he was drafted where he was drafted, even though I was nervous. I actually thought Anthony Richardson should have went back to college before when he left. But when you say you're going to go top 3, top 5, I get it, right? And so now I want to say I'm positive about Jalen Milroe, but I'm also hesitant as well because of some of the things I saw in college where it's like, man, I just got to have that throw be made. And it doesn't happen. And whether it was the lack of protection in the pocket, also, ball security being a big thing, where every time he got in the pocket, sometimes he let the ball go. These are little things that he has to tighten the screws up on if he wants to be ultimately super successful in the NFL. And trust me, that's everybody. It's not just Jalen Milroe. This is the same story told about Roman Harper when I got drafted. I got there, I was a different player than when the time I left. It's because I had to get better. Like, genuinely, you got to get better. Nobody cares about how you get in the locker room. It's all about what you do once you get there. That part of the NFL game never changes.
And if I'm a Jalen Milroe, I would love to go to the Rams. I would love to get drafted by the Steelers. But Roman, I feel like this is either going to be the Browns or it's going to be the Giants. And you may have Malik Nabers in New York. You may have Travis Hunter, which would be fun with the speed in Cleveland. But it feels like Jalen Milroe is going to go to either Cleveland or the Giants. That's my opinion.
You know what? I have no idea. Look, I'm excited for the young man to even accept going to the draft. I think the NFL has done it completely different the last few years since COVID, really, where all of a sudden they figured out, like, you know, the normal viewers and things, we're fine with not seeing them in person. We're cool with just a bureau cam, put it at a house, and we get to see all the family aspects and all these other things. A lot of people taking more advantage of that. They don't go to the draft as much as they used to. But him going there, he thinks that he has a chance to get drafted in the first round. I don't know about that. I definitely think he's a second or third round pick for sure. That's just what quarterbacks do. But it's also about the experience. Going up there, like, I didn't get that invite. I probably would have went too, and I was a second round pick just to say I went to the NFL draft, because it's things we've seen as a young man our whole lives, and you don't actually get to physically do it. And so to even accept the invite is big time for him, and I'm happy for him and his family, because he has great family, a great upbringing, and a great personality, and I can't wait to hear him say Roll Tide on TV again, like they always like to ask for him to do. And we always celebrate it. So he's another one of us, man, and just really looking forward to him and everything that he's been able to do and accomplish in college. Hopefully he gets the same type or even close to the same type of success, because I know it's going to be a lot of pressure on him. And I still am confused why he just didn't run the 40 at the combine. He ran a 4.3. Did he not think he was going to run a blazing time? Because I think if he would have did that in front of everybody too, he's going to end up exactly where you're kind of nervous of him being, is that top tier or that first-round quarterback, maybe late in the first round. But if he would have ran in front of everybody, the world would still be talking about it.
Roman Harper here with us. When your Saints are on the clock at 9 and they pass on Shedeur Sanders, how would you react to that?
I'm fine with it. I don't think they're set up to win right now. I want them to go get – I think. Look, when you got a top 10 pick, you just are in striking distance to bring in a real impact player right now that can really change your whole organization. Is that Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. I don't even know if they got enough healthy bodies and players around Shedeur to allow him to be who he truly can be. And so that is why I would say I would be slow on the quarterback, taking him at 9. Just understand, because you don't have the supporting cast around him to put him in a position to be successful. And so if everybody's comparing Shedeur to a Kirk Cousins, Kirk Cousins has his limitations, and it's because the players around him have to make their plays too. And so I don't know if he is or he isn't that. I think I want to go either defensive star, and it's a lot of defensive stars in this draft pick. So if the Mason Graham kid slides from Michigan, I think you turn the paper in right now, because that helps you out with the pass rush from the interior side to help with Brian Brise from Clemson that you got a couple years ago. But it also shores up the run defense, because this guy's a stop sign up front. And so he's better on that side of it than Brise. So he can really, really help this team. I don't know if he slides that far, but if he does, I like that pick. And then also, and I know the Saints don't do this often, but drafting Will Campbell from LSU might be also in the playing cards as well. I also love Armon Membu from Missouri, the right tackle I watched a lot of. I watched this kid for the last 3 years just destroy people at Missouri. Nobody knows about him, but he's a zone run scheme guy. That's what system he comes from, and I saw him bury people for 3 years. So anytime you can go offensive line, you can't go wrong either.
Before we let you run, Roman Harper, I know, right, with you doing the great work for the SEC Network, you've seen Jackson Dart play a lot. That's another guy. I know it's quarterbacks, and this is a great quarterback draft class. I would only use a first-round pick on Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, and maybe I end up being wrong, but I don't see why Jackson Dart should go in the first round.
So I did not anticipate Jackson Dart going in the first round even when this whole process started. But like you said, that's what happens, Zach. You know, people start loving on him. And look, the one thing I think he does better than most quarterbacks is that he knows how to layer the ball extremely well. That second, third level throw where he needs to put it over the linebackers, crossing, deeper crossing
unless
routes.
He's playing Florida, I'll tell you that. He didn't do that well up against Florida.
Well, look, man, Florida finally figured it out by the end of the year. And look, that's Ole Miss's whole deal. I think that's more about being Ole Miss. We are Ole Miss versus, like, just Jackson Dart. Ole Miss has always found a way to lose the game that they're not supposed to lose every single year, not just under Jackson Dart's helm. So, but Jackson Dart's more athletic than you think. He's a tough kid. He played in a great system where you're going to showcase really well under Lane Kiffin. And like I said, he had a ton of talent around him this past year. And so I think he layers the ball extremely well, but his arm's not, like, overbearing. But he knows how to throw a nice, easy, catchable football. But, Zach, man, you know what it is, man. People love quarterbacks, and they're the most overhyped, overdrafted position in the game. And so That's what we deal with. And so you got to try and figure out who needs one and where they're going to fit out or where they're going to be at, because I think it's a couple other ones. The one from Louisville is another quarterback that everybody, another quarterback that I've never even seen. All of a sudden somebody's talking about him and they love him.
And look, these are a lot of quarterbacks that didn't play all that well. Look at the hype that we've had with Arch Manning the last 2 years. I know Texas is now in the SEC. And there's even some talk, even if he balls out this year, it's not necessarily a guarantee that he's going to go to the NFL draft next year. I can't wait to see Arch. I don't think there's a more intriguing player in college football than him right now.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Zach. And I know the Mannings extremely well, from Archie all the way down, you know, being in New Orleans all those years. I know these guys very personal. And it's amazing to see what family will do around young players, right? And we got a couple of really great examples, but we also, college football with no structure, like who's to blame for some of the decisions and things that are going on with this game right now. What you just said about Arch Manning, making all the money in the world, living life. All he cares about is being a college student. Why? Yeah. Because he's enjoying where he's at. His parents and everybody around him have cut out all the white noise around you. You just focus on doing this. Everything else is going to take care of itself. There's no rush to grow up when you already know it's at the end of the road, because the people in front of you have already done it. They've already seen it. They've already experienced it. We take all the pressure off you. And so Arch gets to just be Arch. He just gets to be a teammate. He just got to be Quinn Ewers' backup last year and was no pressure on him. He didn't even care about it. I don't play. Doesn't bother me. I'm not going anywhere. I chose to come to Texas to be with Texas and learn under Steve Sarkisian and be that quarterback, right? That's what he chose to do. Then you got another example, not trying to call him out, but I'm going to call him out. Nico Iamaleava, all right? You're going to make $2 million plus this year at Tennessee on a playoff team. You choose to leave because you want to outbid yourself, whoever you're listening to in your corner, all right, the adults in the room, and it's a bad deal. Nobody won in this deal, Zach, nobody. But this is what we're getting in today's game. And you got two great examples of what to do and what not to do. And it's all about, and because everybody's going to treat you like an adult. When money's involved and when big decisions are made, you're going to get treated like an adult. And so I root for Nico to be successful at UCLA. But the bottom line is you took less money than what you want to get going to get in a state that was going to be tax-free to a state that taxes you at a high amount, and you went from a playoff team to a team that's still just trying to be more relevant, and now what is the Big Ten?
He shot
and
himself so, in the foot. That's what he did.
Yeah, it's crazy, but this is what we're getting right now, so we all got to talk about it, because if you don't watch out, you got to know about the pitfalls that are out there in front of you. And I love my father to death, and he's a great man and all these other things, and he coached me in high school. But if I need to sign a contract with a professional team or something, my dad ain't going through it because he's not professional in that. You know what I'm saying? You got to go and make sure you got people around you that's going to help you make the best decisions. That is the benefit of being an Arch Manning more than it is a Nico Iamaleava standing today. Now, we're going to see in 5 years, and all Nico's got to do is go out there and win and win and win more, and then all this goes away. But until that moment is said, we're going to continue to look at both of these examples, what to do and what not to do.
All right, one last thing, and I'll let you run, Roman Harper. Getting back to Alabama, last year at times I thought, okay, they're definitely going to the college football playoff. They stubbed their toe a few times. They're able to get back up, but then at the end of the season—
It was the Oklahoma game, Zach.
That was it. Yeah, that did them in. There's no doubt about that. Where's your confidence with Kalen DeBoer going to year number two?
I'm very confident. I'm still worried about some things that they do defensively, schematically, because I don't understand it. I'm not in the meeting rooms. So if my eyes don't tell me exactly what it is, I question it, but it's okay. It's more than one way to skin a cat. But I love that they brought Grubbs back. He came down from Seattle, so he got his original OC back. And at the end of the day, man, when you go from one leadership group, as in Nick Saban, where you run it with an iron fist for as long as he did, and then all of a sudden you go to Kalen DeBoer, where he really leads by promoting others around him. And so it's a total different leadership style. I don't even know the guys that have been in the building, how they felt the first time they go to the team meeting and music's playing before the player, the coach walks in. They're like, dude, this is so different. This is a personal experience. And they just like, we didn't even know like any of this was even available. Like you couldn't do this because I've only known one way to do it for 17 years with Nick. And it's just one way. And so understanding that guys now getting your own guys into the system, everybody kind of having their own sense of freedom, leadership, understanding what it's going to take to win. Also seeing Kalen DeBoer understand what it's like to coach at Alabama, where the first couple games, if you saw his demeanor on the sidelines.
A little different.
You saw that. You saw that. And so as the season progressed, he learned what to do better as well. Because when you're losing at Alabama, we start talking about what T-shirt you're wearing on the sidelines. Now, when you win, you can do whatever you want. But when you lose at Alabama, bro, we pick out anything to be mad at. So this is what you're dealing with. And I think he's going to be much, much better in his second and third year because all he's ever done is won. And so when people that are natural winners, they usually find more ways to win more and more often.
He's Roman Harper, SEC Network, the former Super Bowl champion with the Saints, also played with the Carolina Panthers, always great with us on the show. Roman, appreciate it. Thank you.
Zach, man, I can't wait to hear myself later on in the radio. Appreciate it, buddy.
You got it. We appreciate it. There he is, the great Roman Harper joining us on the show. We'll take a timeout. We'll come on back. Kawhi dominates. Cat and Bridges, a no-show. We're talking NBA playoffs when we return.